remember, he had an improbable turn that made him president, and we were in the middle of a pandemic and an economic crash. He healed our sick and put the rest of us back to work. And he strengthened our alliances for peace and security. He stood up for Ukraine. He's trying desperately to get a ceasefire in the Middle East. And then he did something that's really hard for a politician to do. He voluntarily gave up political power.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Let's speak to our friend Tyrus. He's a regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor as well. You need to check out his latest book. It's called Nuff Said, and you should check it out, buy it, read it, and read it again. Tyrus, welcome back to the show. You got to be watching some of this convention because I see you on Gutfeld after the fact.
Yeah, I have to watch all of it.
It's hard. It's hard to do.
I think you have to look at it from the perspective of it was their day. And it's their week, and I tried to find a few things that some common ground. And honestly, the only ones that, you know, Bill Clinton's going to be Bill Clinton. He's always been a great communicator. Even Father Time has even took its toll on him a little bit, but yeah. he can still have it. Barack can still, you know, he can do a speech, man. And I think I had forgotten what it was like to hear Democrats speak clearly.
Yeah.
So when I, you know, the problem was I was hoping to hear what the plan was, but I think that they're going with the it's just no to Trump is their entire platform. So it was what I thought it would be, and it still continues to be. There's no fact checking afterwards or analysts afterwards. I think this is their moment. I think it's funny that they can't get their story straight on, did he give it away? Was he asked to give it away? Was he told to give it away? Mm-hmm. You know, they try to make him out to be a hero, and then they bury him at the same time. So, I think it's telling. I think the disorganization, the all of a sudden the country music and being white is cool again. I guess that's good for white Americans who have been basically for the last
We've been waiting for a while.
10 years have been 10 years. The most worst thing in the world was a white person. So I think it's funny that they're coming full circle. Because all of a sudden, white men, they apparently need them now. And hunting is cool. So I'm learning a lot of, wow. So,
Do you believe it, though? I mean, it's not even genuine from where I'm sitting. It doesn't feel real at all.
Well, I mean, none of it is. But I think if you're watching a group, like it's just like watching film on the opposing football team, you know, and you see their strengths and their weaknesses. And for me, it seems like their entire platform is about creating this fear around abortion. And that seems to be the entire core of their whole campaign, their whole message, is that if you vote for Donald Trump, you won't be able to get an abortion. And you know, and I think that's what they're running on. So if looking at this, if I was on the Republican strategist team, I would have a real sit down and be like, If the Republican Party agreed to restore Roe versus Wade, what would they have to run on? Mm. You know, and you want to bring in the independent women, and you want to, like, we've all grown up as Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, and whether you liked it or didn't like it, it was consistent. And if you're right to life, you're going to feel a certain way, and if you're this, that, whatever. But at least it was not on a front issue on the election, because people voting off that myth that they're trying to create, because state to state, I personally don't think a man should ever tell a woman what to do with her body. I mean, I can't even tell them what to cook. You know what I'm saying? So it's like in my house, I'd be like, I want this for that. And you're not getting that. You're going to have this, or your sorry self can make it, you know, yourself. And we know what I'm like in the kitchen. So,
You know, Tyrus, what I really wish that the Republican Party would do, and I am unapologetically pro-life. I think life begins at conception. I also realistically understand, as somebody who lives in the state of Illinois, that post the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Illinois has become a destination for abortion. There's two things Pritzker likes to champion, and that's abortion and pot.
Right.
And that's why people come. Anybody with common sense leaves the state of Illinois. But what Republicans have missed the mark on, and the abortion is the biggest issue in my mind, but this translates to other things too. is that abortion is a cultural issue. These women feel helpless. They think that their choice, that they only have one choice. They're made to feel that way. And we should, as Republicans, as good people, be helping these women without waiting on someone to win an election to solve this problem. Because the next person who wins the next election can undo it. We've got to change a culture.
Exactly. And I think that, but I also think sometimes you have to take a step back to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you take that away, what do they have to run against us on? They have no policy. She can't articulate it. You saw the disaster that it was, her economic plan. So again, in terms of trying to win the election, because that's all they're trying to do, is win the election by convincing us that Trump is Hitler. Well, if quote their version of Hitler gives them what they want in terms of, if I'm elected, we will revisit Roe v. Wade, and maybe we'll put Roe v. Wade back in. Here, we're giving a concession, and then come back to it and try to find some common ground. I think if even extending this is going to change a lot of minds in terms of, it will destroy their narrative and they're banking on. You know, the Republican Party is unified. We more than anyone know what the last 3.5 years are like. And it's not going to be, in my opinion, and again, it's my opinion, and again, I'm not a genius. I didn't pass the bar, but I know a little something about life. But in my opinion, I think that would take away all of their manipulative power when he's like, okay, that's what you want. You got it.
Yeah. It's definitely.
What else would you argue about in terms of the election? But it's the issue that no matter what happens, because President Trump is a man and because whatever he says is going to be wrong, because it doesn't matter. You know, even if you're like, well, let's do it like Europe does, and, you know, 16 weeks or whatever. Again, I don't ever want to tell a woman what to do with her body, because I talked about it in my book. You know, I've said there's a chapter where I talk about abortion through a man's perspective and what it's like on our side of it, looking at it. And again, it comes back to no one was happy in that office. No one. There was no one smiling. No one would even make eye contact. Everyone was going through their own personal hell. Even if they were making the right decision, what they felt was best for them, they're still going to live with that decision. They're going to have days when they'll be like, man, I wonder if I would have, you know what I'm saying? That's just human nature. And to try to turn it into a fun thing, to me, is disgusting, because it's not. No one goes in there with if you go in there with a smile on your face, you have some serious issues. You talk, you know, because that's not what it's about. You know, it's a really tough decision. And for those people who had their dignity taken away by rape or incest or a medical thing, like, it shouldn't even be an issue, you know. But again, it goes back to wanting common ground and seeing, you know, people, you know, running around the streets talking about, you know, you go to McDonald's to stop off and get an abortion. I mean, they're full of it. And nobody is, again, it's one of those things where nobody's clean and you got to live with that decision. And there's going to be buyer's remorse. And so the argument would be, well, don't do it in the first place. But again, we want to be a free country. We want people to make their own decisions in life. And there's consequences, and you have to live with that. And I think that might be a better winning strategy for the Republican Party at this point, because that's what will, I think, bring independent women and moderate women to the table. I really believe in. And we need them to win. We're vastly outnumbered.
Tyrus, you know,
again, this is my sense.
I was just saying, I think that it's a conversation that people aren't willing to have at all. And I think that one of the things that the left has so successfully done has made people on the right side of the aisle afraid to speak up on really tough issues, because then it becomes so combative. It's just easier to stay quiet. And so the left wins every argument that the other side doesn't show up to even have. And
exactly.
To your point about what does the Democratic Party have? As much as I felt like shock therapy sitting there and watching these speeches over and over and over again at the DNC this week, at the end of it, I actually felt a little refreshed and renewed, because they really don't have anything. They need to invoke emotion from you. And as long as they feel like they can pull your heartstrings in the direction they need, that, I mean, it's really all they're even trying to do.
They're a party of feelings. And it feels like reality has nothing to do with anything. They feel like the economy is good. They feel like, you know, and a great point was made, and I can't remember his name, but, you know, 12 of the last 16 years has been a Democratic in the White House.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for them to not take any, to bear any responsibility says volumes, which means that they don't see a problem, which means Nothing is going to change. There's not going to be a new platform with Kamala. She's going to do what she was told, like she was doing what she was told during the thing. The question is the people who are running and calling these super progressive policies, with Kamala, we will still not know who's writing that notebook. Mm. You know, and I think if America is okay with that, then it's going to be, you know, 4 more years of that. And I really, really, here's the thing. I don't, when John McCain and Barack Obama, when they ran, either way, your differences of opinion, differences of policies, but you could live with either one. You know, Romney, Obama, same thing. You might not get everything you want, but it's not, there's no extremes in terms of what the platforms were during the election. What happened afterwards is a different story. What we're seeing now is that there's no platform for us to even say, well, okay, well, that's one good thing that if the Democrats win that we can play in our favor. They literally won't tell us a thing that they're doing because they're not going to change a thing. The Bernie Sanders, socialist, Marxist, progressive party is getting their way. They're getting their things. The only thing they didn't count on was Americans woke up and two of the squad are gone.
Yeah.
And possibly more going forward. So Americans are going to have to make that change. But again, I think they would prefer people to vote against Hitler than vote for their policies because they have done.
Tyrus, what do you expect to hear, see from Kamala tonight? Is she going to
be short and sweet and very controlled? I don't. So is Walton. You know, I laughed myself when I saw the coach walk. Volunteer assistant D-line coach. I don't really feel you get to call yourself coach. You know, like there's.
Are you trying to remember who all your volunteer D-line assistant coaches were in your football
career? They were usually team dads. So. Yeah. And they were volunteers. They were only there a couple days a week. And they were there to help out with, like, getting the D-linemen ready and stuff. It's not like the NFL where they're, you know, film study and breaking down technique. Did he teach technique to the D-line? You know, I'd love to see footage of that. But, again, with him, we have to just take him at his word at this point. And it hasn't been a very good word so far, you know. So, but, again, it just comes down to feelings, and all of a sudden, you know, being white from the Midwest is cool again. I think that's the one good thing I took from it, because I really feel, especially white men, have been just blamed for everything, trashed. They can't even speak their mind nor defend themselves. And it's really very reminiscent of when you look at the history books of the 50s and how black men were treated in this country. And we're seeing very similar things in terms of, we don't have the days of the lynching and the violence, but we do have a lot of violence against white people in America. And it's always, oh, well, you know, they're white. So it's good to see at least they're going to at least lean up on that, take the knee off white America's neck in terms of blaming them for every problem and saying how they shouldn't be here and, you know, wanting them replaced in every position. And there's nothing worse than white men. And so I found it hilarious that all of a sudden, it's cool again. Camouflage is now okay.
Yeah.
Don Jr. shoots a lion in a hunting ranch. You know, he should be burned at the stake. If Walt does it, he should get a trophy. That's another thing. I didn't realize you got trophies for hunting. So
you just get the kill, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't know. When you shot the deer, a bear walked out of the woods, and here you go, sir, for your...
Have you ever been a dad coach, Tyrus? I know you've coached, but
no,
have you ever coached your kids?
I've coached... No, I was the offensive line coach for Snoop's youth football team, but I was voted coach of the year by the entire league for the work that I did with the kids, not on the field and off the field. So, you know, look, but as far as me coaching my own kids, no, that's something that I would never do. I'm too close to it, and my job is to be there to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, who is starting to get that football itch or whatever, my job is to be there when he has a bad game, when he comes to me to ask me questions. But to coach my son, I think I'd just be too close to it if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah,
and
self-aware.
I was a very blunt, direct coach, and I don't want it to be an awkward, silent car ride home when you know, like, Dad, did you really said if, you know, like, put my brain in a bird and fly backwards. Did you mean that? You know, because you say to organize to get, you know what I'm saying? You got to be, I was, like I said, I was old school. Like, I built, like, the last game that I coached, We were coaching against Mike Allstart and those guys in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And their kids were a year older than my kids, and they were way bigger than my kids. And my kids were a little nervous, and I said, listen, you have helmets on and shoulder pads on, and I know how to cheat. So here's what we're going to do. The first play, I want you to call him any name you can think of and pick a fight with him.
Oh,
and they were like, why? Three times our size. I said, yes, but you're going to use your pads and helmet as protection. Just go turtle. And while he's trying to whoop on you, the running back's going to run by you. And guess what? He's going to get tired. Hold him. Pull him out. We'll take the flag to the first quarter. Bully them. Like, make these guys who are thinking they're just going to run through you. And it worked. And by the third quarter, they were exhausted. And then we ran the ball down their throat, and we beat them. And I remember one of the parents goes, I was ready to pull my child until I saw what you did worked.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, sometimes you have to motivate young men and tell them things. But coaching is styles and things like that. But the kids will tell you about it.
Yeah.
The kids speak resume. I still get calls from my kids I coached and stuff like that. So I find when you call me, but I would never call myself the head coach of Snoop's Youth Football League. Or the offensive coordinator, or the general manager of the league.
There are big things in your future, Tyrus. You have no idea what you can do with that kind of
clout. I couldn't coach because I was coached directly by alpha men, and athletes are different now. And I don't think I would relate. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in football. There's no whining,
mm-mm.
And there's no questioning either. Like, I never said to my coach, "Hey, I'm triggered when you say the F word."
And what would have happened?
Triggered, he would have been like, oh, well, let's get you out of here. I'm triggered to pull your scholarship. So, again, it's like when you hear somebody say those things, there's just stuff. He just doesn't come across genuine at all, I think. And he seemed to be – he has more fond memories talking about China, and that's mm-hmm. not a shot. I'm just saying he just – but he won't talk about that on the stage. But yet there's so many documented evidence of him praising that, but yet he won't talk about it, which makes you kind of raise your eyes. You spent
yes.
that much in China and understand that you should be an ally in terms of knowing their moves and their stuff, but we never hear that. We always, you know, we always spoke so fondly of it. And with China, you're either surveillance or you're a part of it. So it's very eyebrow raising to me that as much information is out there about his time teaching in China and everything, that he has nothing to speak on in terms of policy, and like no one knows how to deal with it. I was there. I saw it. I saw the way that people were treated. I saw this and that, whatever. You never hear that. So that concerns me a little bit.
Tyrus, were you part of the – I watched the Netflix special years ago on Snoop's Football League. Are you in that?
I think I was gone from then when they did
okay.
that. But we were always – there was always cameras around.
It was a really – I mean, I learned a lot about what he was doing and the amount of respect that I earned for Snoop Dogg for what he was
yeah.
doing with that football
league. He basically owns a school bus to drive the kids to and from school and practice so moms don't have to. He lowers the cost of playing football. Like, if you have two kids playing football in a family or three, you're only paying for one registration.
Yeah.
Like, he loses money every year on it, and he doesn't care.
Mm.
You know, it's not – and not only that, like – they aren't the Pomona Pirates. You know, he literally worked to get the licensing so he could call the team's NFL team and have the same jerseys the teams do. So when these kids step on the field, they are pros as if they feel they're – the whole point is to build up their confidence
yeah.
and let them feel about – but it's not about pushing their career in football. It's about teaching them the importance of education, of being on time, showing up, pride in your work. And when you do those things, good things happen, and you feel good about yourself. And young men, especially, in these days, need that type of, especially when they're young and there isn't a father present in the home, or the parents are working, or worse than that, you have parents who care more about Facebook and TikTok than spending time with their kids. That's where athletes and coaches are really important. But coaches aren't parents. They're trying to build them to be able to compete in the world, on the field and off the field. And he just doesn't strike me. And again, I've never had a conversation with him, but based off my observations and my research and looking into him, I just don't see those qualities in him. I see a person who will tell you whatever you want to know. He's everybody's friend, and anybody who knows me in wrestling knows when somebody's everybody's friend, I'm the first one to say I don't like him. And they're like, why, Cyrus? I'm like, because if you're everybody's friend, you're nobody's friend.
Yeah, it's real.
Like, and that's real as it gets.
Well, I appreciate all the insight there, and I really would encourage people to learn more about that Snoop Dogg Football League. I'm glad you were able to talk about that.
I appreciate you not bringing up last week. Your name was besmirched, and I just want you to know that I had nothing to do with it. I was
okay.
I was appalled.
Okay.
It was several times when he was talking about, like, he's the star of the show and this is how the real things. I did not want any part of that. I was I was really concerned with the besmirchment. There was a lot of outcries online, and I was glad that I was not blamed in any of it. But for the record, and I'm sure he's sitting there with his mouth open right now. That's right, I'm dropping dime, bro. You were completely out of line, and you know, I think it's great that you allow him to even be in there based off his behavior. It just shows that you are, you know, but you are forgiving, and it's about do your job. But you know, you might want to rethink the next time you call out that guy, because you get a little power in his head, he just loses his mind.
Conversations are going to be had now. Yes, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to change the intro music to focus more on him and his accomplishments. He was talking about better ways to raise your kids. He was completely out of line.
Oh my gosh! Thank you for the details, Tyrus. Yeah, I can count on you. Yeah. I know I can.
Yeah, well, I was appalled. I just want to say I was appalled.
I appreciate it.
I only went along to get information.
Okay. I appreciate it. Tyrus, hang in there tonight watching Kamala Harris. We'll be watching Gutfeld as well. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, we finally beat the Astros in a series, so I'm happy.
No, I don't even know. The Cardinals. Oh, Arenado did walk off last night in extras.
Yeah, walk off last night. Yeah, yes. You can't complain. It was a nice shot.
Oh, we're complaining. But not about last night.
No.
Thanks,
that's
Tyrus.
That's all you can do.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our friend Tyrus, regular on Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, and his book, Nuff Said. Go read it. I really appreciate his conversation there, especially about the abortion issue. I disagree with him on certain parts of it, but I think we have different reasons for coming together in the middle and agreeing in the end. And those conversations are important to have. Went a little bit long there with him, but it's Tyrus, and he gets the time when he gives us the time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get Mr. Ryan Wiggins back in studio. Don't go away.